And good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, 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 dear listeners. And I hope wherever you find yourselves, that you are ready for the discussion for this Wednesday evening. Now, just to let you know that tonight's discussion, we will be reverting back, you know, meaning ending at 7:30 for tonight. And that will then be immediately followed by the Matriarch and her programming. However, on our discussion for tonight, getting back into the theme for this evening's Business and Economic Zone, is taking a look at, well, I'll call it a success story. I like this kind of story. The aspect of a women's cooperative based in the northern regions of the country that have to date, and that's for the past 5 years, they have exported and produced, exported 53 tons of marula oil. Marula oil, guys. 53 tons. Now, here on Eagle FM, not just myself, but also that being Kanjengo, as we, you know, usually discuss various issues here, economic issues here on the Business and Economic Zone, we love Namibians that do something from, that produce something from a natural product, that harness what you can find out in nature and then add value to it or put it in some sort of, you know, crude form that can be further processed even further. Although, you know, the downside is, in the entire article that I read from Inomenua in last night's The Villager e-paper was, the unfortunate thing is, like here locally, you know, adding more value, it seems to be one of said sort of hurdles faced by the producers of this marula oil. Obviously, one of the other disadvantages or hurdles that are faced by the cooperative is the international competitive, organic oil market. Remember, there is things like canola oil, sunflower seed oil, olive oil, you get date palm oil, you get the Nigeria's very famous red palm? That red oil. Because Nigeria is one of the biggest producers of that, you know, that organic oil or plant-based oil or plant-based, you know, product. And here in Namibia itself, it has taken a collective. It has taken a cooperative. And I like such discussion points. It's taken a cooperative. Although the cooperative is pretty big, because, I mean, 2,800 people is a lot of people to incorporate. 2,800 people is a lot. And at least you can see both the economic and you see the socioeconomic, you know, value being displayed in this cooperative itself. Now, the cooperative's name is Eudafano Women's Cooperative, EWC. And it's a pretty good idea of what they've done. I mean, it's similar to it's what they aim to do is something similar to the cooperative, obviously, like what Agra is, because Agra is a cooperative, like what Clover in South Africa is. Clover is a cooperative. Clover is a dairy cooperative. You've got to look at it in that sense. The main focus for their products is dairy-based products. So that being butter, cream, UHT milk or fresh milk. Clover itself is one of the biggest cooperatives that you find here in Southern Africa. Namibia itself has their own. And then you get into this one. This is, you know, the kind of scenario that I like hearing about. Cooperatives. Now, a cooperative, guys, has its benefits and it has its potential to assisting members. But before I get into the cooperative, I first want to stress, you know,
kukuruga na yowamba, kukuningisa ozere, nukusespika na mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke, ramangako uwera o HIV. Ayo kukupoperan tani kuiruga na maoko uko. Tokora sigara, ninkawa kurugane yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro lieyo wamba zuma wakoko, ndimo gwana kuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa nomoro zoe utantandatu zime, ntatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook, kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now, just coming back from that short break right there and where we ended off in terms of talking about this, you know, this discussion with regards to this, you know, this production process, this cooperative, this EWC cooperative that has produced one or other form of exportable agricultural produce or product. Remember, guys, the demand for biofuels is pretty high. Whether it and biofuels come with two purposes. They can have the option of going for industrial use, and they can have the option of going into, you know, household use. Specifically, household use is in some senses seen as the bigger application. For example, the where they use the sugar cane that has the option for producing so many consumer products. But sugarcane in Brazil is also generated for biofuel purposes. However, it does prove to be a very difficult balance because a lot of those agricultural economists and experts have all said the balance of the taxation, or not the taxation, let's say the burden that's placed on producing something for industrial and general market or retailer or consumer use always is being weighed up by the producer, because ultimately the producer is the person in charge of pricing. They are the person in charge of pricing. But besides that point, the 53 tons or the 53,000 kilograms of marula oil that this cooperative has generated is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's very good. I mean, I don't know what's up with the date, but the marula oil or the marula tree itself or the marula plants themselves are also a seasonal they're also a seasonal type of plant. So there is already a restriction, a limitation element with regards to consistency or level of consistency of production, meaning how frequently can you produce? Can you do this in a year-long exercise, or is it only that you really have to wait for harvesting? And that is usually some of the drawbacks with regards to working with a crop. Because let's just identify for what it is. It is a crop. It's being harvested. Now, this obviously speaks to, you know, the cooperative trying to incorporate a social element in terms of upliftment, because it helps to bring production, means of production, across most of the regions in the north. Ultimately, the products, let me call it the products that they produce technically, because they are being bought, is that they can process or produce, for example, in the manufacturing plant that they have in Ondangwa, they can produce up to 12 tons of marula oil. They've also collected close to 128,000 tons or 128 tons of marula kernels, also known as omauku, as well as also another additional 77 tons of melon seeds on Tanga. Now, this does speak very well in terms of, you know, the commitment, because they're diversifying a little bit as well. But here's the downside. Here's the major downside. Adding in some extra, you know, discussions with regards to, or looking at a different, perspective to what is being produced here by this cooperative, is that most of this product, or what the products based from marula oil, from the marula oil, is that it goes into the cosmetics industries and economies, especially in Europe. Look, it's all good and well. There is a client out there. There is client markets out there. There are markets that buy our produce. No? They are there. It's just in the same sense, for example, that obviously if you deal with something like an organic product, for example, a plant-based fat, because it is a fat, oil is a fat, with plant-based fats. Plant-based fats currently in Namibia are only, you know, kept in the first forms of processing, after processing. The raw material itself is the fruit, or, you know, the seed, the melon seed, or the fruit itself, or, you know, the marula fruit itself. And then it gets obviously processed to get to the oil. That being also for the melon seed, to get to the melon seed oil, or to the melon, that seed oil. The downside is, like I mentioned, frequency of production, or frequency of harvesting, or frequency of processing. And second on that is also that the processing only ends at a certain part. What I mean by that is, well, the markets itself is that, for example, marula oil itself, or let me just speak into what, in terms of where it gets, you know, absorbed in. Marula oil itself is derived from in the nuts and the kernels of the marula fruit. And that's just explaining, you know, the basics of what the fruit looks like for those of us who have not seen it. Now, it also contains, that same thing, contains considerable amount of fatty acids and about 60% of antioxidants than any other oil, which accounts for its anti-aging and sun damage prevention properties. So obviously, those two terminologies would tell you, okay, that means cosmetic use or cosmetic product use. On to some of the further products or properties that, you know, marula oil generates, is that it also shows antimicrobial properties, making it an ideal choice for repairing irritated and acne-prone skin. For adding on to that is also that the health benefits offered by this oil can also include reduction of dryness, irritation, inflammation. And currently, where the market lies, or majority of the market, is that from 2016 to 2020, sales of marula oil had increased at a rate of about 4%, or 4.4%. Market expansion at that stage was greatly dependent upon the availability of product and its timely demand and supply characteristics. Now, understand this is where the seasonal element of the fruit comes in. We know when the fruit grows and when it can be harvested. Now, due to it being due to the seasonal nature of the fruit and its seasonal availability, that means that the oil manufacturers are only opting to provide more and more shelf-stable products in order to maintain supply chain. It's also an edible oil, and it traditionally is also used in preparing a number of traditional cuisines found throughout Southern Africa. It's not just in Namibia, Southern Africa. So then in itself, also you have to identify that it's not just, well, if we were saying, wow, yay, you know, we are exporting marula oil, it's not the case, because that would mean we're also competing against other fellow SADC bloc members who are also exporting the same product. So that in itself also means that there's a question of, you know, country of origin in terms of quality of product or quality of production, which is also one of the drawbacks that the cooperative has also indicated to, because they've noted that they need laboratories in order to, or further expansion in the laboratories in order. I don't know if it's an appeal to the general public or to some, you know, some sort of assistance, but they've indicated that the laboratories would assist in terms of, you know, perfecting, refining, and being able to grade the level or the quality of each of the various oils that they can produce. Meaning, you know, research and develop in terms of the production and production, means of production and the products itself. But it is a good alternative for olive oil. as it also has more antioxidants than olive oil. However, utilization of the oil is also less globally as an edible oil, and it's also used majorly in essential oils in making cosmetics and personal care products. Now, right there, guys, cosmetics and personal care products is a pretty big market. Because as of 2019, the global cosmetics market size was valued at $380.2 billion. $380.2 billion. That's the cosmetics industry, the global cosmetics industry. Obviously, where marula oil gets used is another question. For which products it gets used is another question. Which products that have marula oil as an ingredient and which are probably produced by one of the leading or the major brands in the world is another question as well. But out of that total market, that global market right there, $380 billion as of 2019. And it's also projected to reach $463.5 billion by 2027. By 2027. Now, they note here that the cosmetics industry itself and its economy and its marketplaces has become so indispensable, this market itself, this industry itself, because of modern lifestyle as well as also or the modern lifestyle of various individuals. Guys, you don't know how many women I've got on that I know on WhatsApp who post on their WhatsApp statuses the various kinds of beautifying treatments or beautifying, let me just call it makeup, you know, applying so much cosmetic products on their faces on a weekly basis, not even on a daily basis yet. Well, I don't know about some of you people out there, but the handful of people that I see that post on their WhatsApp statuses in terms of their latest, nail treatments and doing makeup on their faces with their eyebrows and all that stuff. It's a lot of products that they have to apply. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot, guys. It's a lot of cosmetics. And then it's not even into skincare products as well. Because total skincare industry is just as big. I mean, the skincare industry is slightly smaller than the global cosmetics industry. But skincare itself is still big if you base it on US denomination standards. Currently, as of 2020, the global skincare market or industry, whichever term you want to use, stood at $140.9 billion. $140.9 billion. It's still, and also, as always, it's also projected to increase between a period of 2021 to 2026, that 5-year period itself, it's projected to increase by 4.69% in value. 4.69%. It doesn't sound like much, but if you apply that 4.69% to that $140 billion in total value, that'll bring it up to a good, 160 billion, easily. And that's skincare. And I suspect skincare will be an issue because of climate change, because in some spots, it's getting a little bit too hot. In some other spots, it's getting a little bit too cold of the world. So global scheme,
the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Hello Namibia. Endera pamanate muyuni walelape. Lelape onkaro ompu womafutiro nokuthisa ngoka haguningwa pamkaro gongodi hoka tovuru okutuminako omatumaraka goye agehe na ngoka gopaipindi notagadhanwa nokutula mombepo ethimbo ojo tunjoka. Otovuru okuninga shike ko Lelape. Otovuru okutula omatumaraka goye mombepo tarongisa oka epa ko Eagle FM nenge ka imba nenge hoka ka Lelape nenge utule moshifo sho The Villager ni kwao ya gwedhapo. Otovuru okuninga omafutilo goye. Otovuru ishe okuturako omatumaraka goye giinima ya yoroka. Ngashi omatumaraka gorukozi, omatumaraka gomahio, omatumaraka gomaharero ya mbeko gomavaro, na matumaraka gokwarukehe ngoka wahara utseithire oshigwana ashikesho mo Namibia, okuza warapo dorandatu ni thiringa itano metumaraka kehe. Lelape oharongo ngini, konga oka epa ko Lelape ko Play Store nenge ko App Store, eto katura kakarekeri mongo dioe. Paturura o akaunta e oshari, eto turamo o maothemba goe. Inda kokanja toko e kimariwa, eto turako oshimariwa, to udhitha shoka topurwa uudhithe. Shampa wa mana okuturamo o maothemba goe, hogora kucha o hara okurungitha ehangano, nenge o vendaini, o Eagle FM nenge o The Villager. Ronge kitha etumaraka joe, eto sindi mpoka pashangwa send utume. Shamba watumu etumaraka joe, otari turua ko Eagle FM, imba, Lelape, nenge ko The Villager. Ouna ishwe ompito yokuturako irongwa moyoe yokomake. Tumina inima we ko digital etomalite.com notai urikwa menderero. Opo ukare waguza kukara ndithi, tudengera nena kono rahetatu imwe, mbari nora, ndatongoi, hamano, ndatu ndatu, nenge kono rahetatu imwe, ndatu mbari, hetatu, 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 ne, no nora yeriari. Lelape, imo nena, nena, tai adhika ko App Store, noko Google Play Store.
Now coming back, guys, from that extended break right there. And where we left off was, you know, taking a look with regards to, you know, those two, well, industries, global market size or global market value. Now, the important thing is, guys, that nonetheless, this cooperative is still producing. I mean, even if you go to, Meatco's website itself, Meatco they themselves also, you know, well, it's something that they posted on in 2018 because it's dated on as 2018, written back in 2018. But they also indicate that a cooperative actually helps various producers in the agricultural sector. It helps them a lot. The most important thing is, since we've been speaking for the past 2 weeks about purchasing power, the most important thing is that a cooperative helps with marketing and purchasing power. For example, that it's a formal form of farmer collection or even agricultural producer collections or collective action for the purpose of the marketing and processing of produce. Of produce or products and for the purchase and production of inputs into the whole agricultural or process. Remember, I'm strictly keeping the farmer or the phrase farmer out because we also have rural economies that are not just, it's not just a farmer. It's someone that is involved in an agricultural process, but it's just that they're not on a farm. So we can't say farmer. We have to, you know, include a more encompassing and inclusive terminology, because this current world of ours is currently on a trend with regards to inclusivity on all fronts. So in that same space, we've got to identify that everyone who's in the agri industry or the agricultural industry you are a producer. You are producing. Whether it be animal husbandry or crop farming, you are producing. Now, the main aims of, you know, this, of collectives like what the EWC have done, like you see with Agra itself, like you see with Clover in South Africa, is to increase the production of each member, as also the incomes, and by also helping to better link them with finance, with agricultural inputs, with information dissemination, and with outputs, or with output markets, meaning the collective can even go and generate a market, can even go and source a market, can even go and tap into unexplored territory, meaning i.e. a market. Now, this is all good. Although I would unofficially concede perhaps that, you know, 2,800 members or women, because you have to, well, they are members nonetheless, wouldn't that constitute as probably being the biggest, you know, the biggest cooperative in the country in terms of just membership, just in the size of members? No. You know, that's just a comment in passing, you know, highlighting how big it is, even though it's just with regards to mostly women and trying to incorporate women into this production or means of production. Adding on to that is also, cooperatives can also help farmers with benefits from economies of scale by lowering the costs of acquiring the inputs or hiring services such as storage and transport. Pretty good. Pretty good right there. Now, I want to stress at this point, guys, that this oil itself, this marula oil itself, they are, apart from the major end-use industries, this oil is also used in physiotherapy. So it also has its own sort of like medical application, not just cosmetic, also medical in a form. Being that the versatile nature of the oil and also its seasonal stability is what is acting as a demand accelerator for the oil in the global scheme of things, in the global market, with its industry slated to expand by the 6.3% through to 2031. That's pretty big, guys. Now, demand for this oil is likely to increase in developing nations apart from the major developed markets such as Europe. For example, Asia-Pacific countries are anticipated to increase the utilization of this oil in varied applications, that being over the coming years. The market in East Asia itself is anticipated also to be worth about $12.7 million by the end of 2031, which is, you know, pretty decent. And just giving you, in terms of, you know, the value share, the market value share of the global marula oil market, and that has been measured up to end of 2021, is that the various uses that it has, for example, is food processing industry. Then you've got the foods or the foods service industry. Then you've got the retail household industry. And then there's the cosmetics and personal care, which is the largest of the bulk. The largest of them. The biggest markets is Europe at 38.5%. To be followed by North America, Southern Africa, and East Asia, somewhat close in terms of size. No, not sorry. Southern Africa, then third. And then East Asia and South Asia are actually almost hand in hand in terms of size. That's now market share size. In the US, marula oil itself, with the US that holds a major share of about 68.2% from the North America perspective. Remember that Europe is the biggest the biggest market. But North America itself, in North America, the U.S. demand is 68.2% of North America's demand. And that is also anticipated to enjoy a market value of about $16.6 million by, you know, various forecasts. Because demand for that natural product, or for that natural-based product, for marula oil itself, for in cosmetic products, is so high in this part of the world. On to top of that, also that the cosmetics and the personal care products markets, also in the US, is also among the biggest markets in the world. For sure. Now, in Europe itself, the biggest market in the European market, remember the European market is bigger than the North American one, but in Europe itself, France is the biggest market for that, for marula oil, where it has 16%. And in France itself, their usage, their absorption, their demand for the product is expected to grow at a rate of 4.1%. Now, France, this is what makes it interesting, is also a lucrative location for marula oil manufacturers as far as demand is concerned. Because this country has a major share in the overall personal care and cosmetics industry, with the world's biggest brands, such as L'Oreal, being one of those brands that, you know, operate in that industry. Now, there is also insight in terms of, with regards to marula oil, is that in the global cosmetics market, products that are based on marula oil, or that have marula oil as an ingredient in it, are valued more than products that don't have the oil in it. Get a load of that. Products that have it are valued more, meaning they have a higher price, than products that don't have it. Now, obviously, this makes it crucial for the producers and also for the manufacturers of the various cosmetic and skincare products, in indicating that they can charge premium pricing because of this one ingredient. Now, that ultimately is what my literature research has revealed, that France has this higher demand for products that have this ingredient in it, in terms of that, that's the reason, one of the reasons why France is the biggest market. Now, you then get other types of sort of like further discussions with regards to marula oil. And one of them is taking a look at some insights within the category, or insights within, you know, the production of this product itself. For example, taking a look at availability of various marula oil types, providing opportunity for processors. And that is one of the discussions that the representative that spoke to Menua for the story about the cooperative in last night's the Villager e-paper platform, was that the laboratories that they require at their various production sites or factories allows them to grade and to categorize the quality of each of their various oils that they can produce, which is essential, because if you produce various forms or various, grades or standards of oil, you can obviously sell more products. You can obviously rake in more money. Now, we're quickly going to step into a short break from the break. We'll be coming right back, heading up into the last segment of this evening's discussion of the business and economic zone. And then we'll see each other just after the break into the last leg.
Thank you. Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from $100 Namibian per month, including VAT for prepaid, or $345 Namibian per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information. Always prepare,
Paratus. Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or the Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Now getting into the last leg of this evening's program here of the Business and Economic Zone. Well, it's pretty clear, guys, to understand if we have a look at some of the category-wise insights, meaning various discussion points, for example, the availability of various marula oil types, providing for opportunity for processors and producers. For example, if you take a look at that cold-pressed virgin oil, that market for cold-pressed virgin oil is anticipated to be worth about $62.7 million by the end of 2031. Oil processors are providing marula oil according to a standard of benchmarks that are set by various end-use industries. So, the end-use industries are communicating back up the supply chain what they want in terms of, you know, quality or standard, which is pretty good. It's just a notion of, you know, do some of the standards that, you know, does it translate through pretty well throughout the industry itself, or is it specific to, let's say, for example, of a country of origin for specific standard or specific quality of marula oil. Now, if one type is suitable for personal care and cosmetics, the other is also suitable as an edible grade. Different manufacturers of end products want their oils to be either cold-pressed virgin or cold-pressed, and also depending upon the requirements, oil processors are providing different types of marula oil. Some manufacturers prefer to refine their oil according to their refining processes, which in turn, and in such instances, unrefined or cold-pressed oil is provided to them. This also provides a customization opportunity, for example, for end-use industries, and is also offering optimistic business growth for or to oil processors. The competitive landscape with regards to this is that major market players are looking forward at international collaborations and also long-term business agreements with this, for supply of natural marula oil to major personal care and cosmetic product manufacturers. These partnerships are not only aimed at financial benefits, but also for collaborative research and development, which is pretty good. And they, you know, there's a whole host of these discussions, you know, with regards to such, or with regards to the demand for marula oil, because it's a natural product. Now, the key market segments is that it forms part of nature, it forms part of the type, the part of the end use, and also the part of the distribution channel and also the region. And, you know, it's interesting. Let me put it that way. It's interesting because it's one of the few good stories that we've had so far for the first 5 months of this year. It's one of the few. Even though challenges are being, you know, highlighted within the discussion point that with regards to the interview that took place, obviously. But all in all, I mean, producing 53 tons of marula oil, it's impressive stuff. Even though it's, you know, cascaded over a 5-year period, it's still impressive stuff. Factoring in challenging, you know, economic scenarios, that being i.e. COVID, i.e. the technical recession Namibia had been in before 2020. So it's pretty impressive stuff. What's even more impressive is the membership size, 2,800 people signed up to say, yes, let's form part of this. Obviously, you're looking at the scale of operations, the scale of supply, the scale of processing, because this would mean, you know, everyone is pulling in tandem. Everyone is working towards a common goal. And as I said, this is not a question, there's also not a notion of farmer, of using a label. No. These are people that are part of, well, predominantly, they are predominantly women, but they are part of a production setup. They are part of a production setup. Now, that 2,800 ladies or members technically form part of 26 associations. Now, whichever one in terms of membership size you want to look at, 26 associations factoring into the cooperative, or the 2,800 individual representatives still factoring into the cooperative, it doesn't matter which of the two quantities you use, because to me it still speaks of a pretty big, pretty large, and probably the largest in terms of membership. Now, obviously, guys, there is local consumption, and not just external, or not just for export. There is also local consumption taking place here. But, it's one of the major discussion points, especially coming in, you know, with regards to concerns with how small our manufacturing industry is. We all know, guys, if we had to look at cosmetics and skincare, because you just have to look at where is marula oil specifically. And I'm not talking about the melon seeds yet. But just the marula oil, where is it absorbed? Where does it get bought, or where does it get used in a global sense? Because the moment you say export, it's exported. The moment you have to say and track and trace or do a little bit of track and tracing, which is, you know, the coin terminology coming from COVID, but, you know, it's something before that that you have to apply. Where does it get used in the global industry? Where? And the first thing you see is cosmetics and skincare. Cosmetics and skincare. Wow. Now, I know in South Africa, they also have a cosmetics and skincare manufacturing section or segment. But here in Namibia, there is also the potential for us to perhaps assist in that same sense by doing what? There's an opportunity right there. Establishing perhaps a production company that produces cosmetics based from that natural product that is being produced by this cooperative. There's an opportunity right there. Now, ultimately, in Namibia's sense, it is formed part of, in terms of the consumption, you know, where it's consumed, meaning the local retail market. It does factor into two types of cooking oil. No. It does compete as an alternative cooking oil. Let me rather put it that way. Because there's already sunflower seed and olive oil products. So it does factor in as an alternative solution. Obviously, there also, you know, there's also, you can also make other products from the fruit itself, because the oil only comes from the kernels and the, you know, the seed. The bitter, as we say in Afrikaans, die pit, you know, it does come from that part, the pip. So, the product itself presents just that natural thing, that little yellow fruit, that fruit presents itself with multiple avenues of opportunity as well. But from the existing one, which is the oil-based one, there is even further opportunity downstream that can be capitalized on. That can be capitalized on. Look, guys, in most cases, ne? Nature itself presents the product that you have there. Nature itself. Even if you're out there trying to unlock the next great product for the world, you sometimes also have to look at what nature presents to you. I stress this because this is the exact example of what this cooperative aimed to do. It's unlocking the potential of a natural product, an organic product that just grows there. It just grows. You just need a season to come and to go, then you harvest. It just grows. Obviously, that would speak to you then also having to invest in securing your supply, because people can also cut down the trees for firewood. So you'll have to ensure that there is plantations of this tree, the marula tree. Because remember, it's also something that the elephants like. The elephants also like the fruit, you know. So you've got to ensure that there is a plantation as well, in one sense. So obviously that your true supply is not impacted. So even upstream, there's even further opportunity even. Even upstream, there's further opportunity. Now, even though that brings us up to the end for tonight's discussion, just look at these. Just look at this one good example in terms of getting something that nature presents naturally and converting it. Taking something that nature presents naturally and converting it. Obviously, there's one specific product you cannot use, that you cannot touch, That being the aloe vera in Namibia. It's a protected plant. You can't harvest it.
So, jy het gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Yep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effen seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry jy besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Now getting back and just where we left off before we sign off for tonight's program of the Business and Economic Zone was that there are certain natural products that you will obviously not be able to just harvest out of the blue. Obviously, you will require certain licensing or certain permits or permissions coming from various authorities, that being, you know, either the forestry ministry or the environment ministry or the itself and the various local authorities and traditional authorities that you have to factor in. Like I mentioned with the aloe vera, you will need a specific permit for it and also to prove perhaps if now you're sitting out there with a wonderful idea in terms of saying, you know, let me just go walk up to any plant and see what it can do. On top of that, there are certain plants, obviously, that, you know, are protected. So that takes them entirely off the list. And right there, it brings us to the end of our discussion. On that note, stay tuned as the Matriarch is here. I'm going to run away because I don't want her to kidnap me. I have actually something else to do. But on that note, stay tuned and adios.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message. Type it out and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're chilling with the Matriarch here on Eagle FM, the number one radio station ever. Yay!